Bloggers for UKIP, The Race for the Leaderkip by Paul Perrin. So the battle lines have been drawn, following the retirement of the revered Emperor Nigel Farage, who for many years somehow successfully herded cats, while coping with definite heckling and barracking from opposing spectators, and often his own. Being cats, they could not be commanded to the level required for one man and his dog, but they were managed well enough to get into the pen marked Brexit. This stunned everyone. Although, in practice, the game is not technically over until they exit the other side via the gate marked Article 50, or through the tunnel marked 1972 Act. But the Emperor, having now retired, and the machinery to replace him having been dusted down and wire-brushed to remove the rust, two opposing generals have emerged. One, Douglas Carswell MP, and one, Mr. Aaron Banks. They each have their loyal staff, but the warlords and foot soldiers of UKIP are free to choose which side, if either, they join. Their battle is for control of the UKIP party infrastructure, which may or may not include some or all of the current membership and supporters, as they are always free to come and go as they please, as are officers and electees. While the generals are not themselves competing to replace the Emperor, they each have declared favourites in the race, alongside some independents and other contenders for the crown. First, Douglas Carswell MP for UKIP. Douglas is a contentious figure in UKIP. As UKIP's only MP, he gets a lot of media coverage, even though he has made clear he only represents the people of Clacton, and despite a large, winning vote for him in the general election, how many of those voters are UKIP rather than his own personal following? Or just anti-EUers? I wonder if the local party membership figures are available. Douglas's set includes core members, such as Susan Evans, former temporary leader and currently suspended, and Patrick O'Flynn, MEP. Douglas's team includes others who may, or may not, be on his side more to oppose Aaron Banks and co. than to actively support Douglas, such as Neil Hamilton, Welsh Assembly member. Douglas has several books to his name, produced over the years, often with co-authors, setting out a vision for a new structure for politics in the UK. One recent book, with many co-authors, Direct Democracy, A New Model Party, is available as a free download on his website. He certainly appears to know what he wants from politics and from UKIP, and for the country. Unfortunately, substantial parts of it don't match what many existing UKIP supporters want, particularly as Brexit is now seen as a fait accompli. His champion in the competition would almost certainly have been Suzanne Evans, who he employs as UKIP Head of Communications, Westminster. But due to her suspension from the party, she cannot run. She was suspended for bringing the party into disrepute, and like Douglas himself, has a record of attacking the UKIP party leadership and UKIP members who support it. So, their champion is Councillor Lisa Duffy. While she is relatively, or totally, unknown nationally and generally, she is part of UKIP history as the leader of the first UKIP group to lead a council in the UK. Any UKIPper who didn't know this should be ashamed. On the opposing hill, astride his horse, binoculars in hand, is Mr. Aaron Banks, a man who made his fortune in insurance, founding major companies, not just gambling, and now he collects diamond mines as a hobby. Aaron's main notoriety in UKIP is as a major donor, a friend of Nigel Farage, and a founder of Leave EU, which headed the Grassroots Out campaign, that was the other Leave campaign, in the EU referendum. And of course, he is an activist. Aaron's likely preferred champion, Stephen Wolfe MEP, like Douglas's preferred champion, is not in the competition. In Stephen's case, he was excluded because the application form for his candidacy were logged as being received by UKIP after the well-publicised deadline. It is thought Wolfe had been the most likely candidate to win the leadership, but who trusts polls nowadays, with his hardcore supporters having said they'd leave UKIP if he was excluded from the race, which he now has been. This has caused a lot of friction in the party, with one member of the NEC finally issuing a public statement on Stephen's exclusion. This account is particularly interesting as it says that in the closing minutes, between Stephen's successful payment of his deposit and the late submission of his papers, another candidate got their papers in. So he was not the only candidate to leave it to the last minute. However, the dissatisfied supporters, rather than leaving the party, are now in a move to hold an extraordinary general meeting, EGM, a move strongly backed by Mr. Aaron Banks. The broad plan of which seems to replace the existing UKIP constitution with a new one, which would remove the NEC, that ruled Wolfe's late entry was grounds for exclusion, as per the UKIP rulebook, and put in place a mechanism to give members a more direct, hands-on say in the running of the party, rather than relying on elected representatives of the NEC. Getting an EGM is a huge task, with many, many members needing to want it and get their branch to ask for it. But Mr. Banks has contact with a very large section of the UK membership via his Leave EU organisation, so has put this in train. The timing around Stephen Woolsey's application are most odd, that a last-minute entry came in and then his application was late. Could it be he was effectively bowing out and handing on the baton? The only real surprise candidate in the competition is Diane James. And while she's well qualified to run, she showed no inclination to do so beforehand. So one wonders if she is the late entry. It would also be interesting to see which 50 members proposed each candidate, and when. But I doubt that will be publicly available. As I see it, people should have the leader they want. So UKIP members should have the leader they want. If UKIP doesn't have the right leader, well, maybe they need a new party with a different leader. But it is all very exciting. Maybe a trial run for the democratisation of the UK, sweeping in to remove an unrepresentative elective body, whether that be an NEC or Parliament, and put in place a mechanism for the public to exert direct democracy. For direct democracy, the missing link on the practical side is electronic voting. The recent referendum shows the time, effort and cost of using our traditional, reliable and trustworthy, postal votes notwithstanding, system. I've long opposed all electronic voting systems I have seen, as having been a candidate, I wouldn't trust a single one of them over our existing system. However, I have since created a method of running electronic voting that is simple to use and allows voters to verify the result of the vote as complete and accurate without having to trust anyone else on the collation and counting of the votes, not even the vote organisers. Well, I'm sure it'll be fun seeing how things pan out.